So has Coach K like retired yet? Like for real, Joe? I've been at home, kind of taking care of some things as like the last man standing in my house for now, with COVID related issues. I didn't miss any news. I didn't see any press release that Mike Krzyzewski after last night with John Shire's adjustments as the acting head coach, the coach in waiting. He's like, psh, we're good here. Did a good enough job.
No updates.
I'm out.
Yeah, no updates, but hard not to be impressed with just the demeanor of John Shire last night. I thought there could be a tendency in that situation, Joe, in a one-off game where you try to overdo it. You know, oh, let me play zone. Let me go press. Let me, you know, box in one. Who the heck knows? You could sit out there and try to make a big show of it. Yeah. And it's easy to do when you have three pros, but you still have to get them to be motivated and be on the same page. And AJ Griffin, that's the name to watch for Duke. Yeah. The more and more he comes on, the more and more I can see Duke being one of the last four teams standing this season.
Yeah, Griffin has been coming off the bench, but with every game, he's shown you just how strong he can be. And I thought coming off the bench, he was utilized in very good spots by Mike Krzyzewski. But he started last night, and that was a slog of a first half between Duke and Wake Forest. But Duke's too good. And I have 2 points to what you were talking about with John Shire as the acting head coach, as Mike Krzyzewski was out with a non-COVID related illness. He's not auditioning for the job. He's got the job.
Yeah.
So when you know you have the job, I do think there's you're a little bit more comfortable. You're more at ease. Like, hey man, I'm going to be able to have a whole season to myself and he's into this whole thing. So I'm not going to sweat. I'm going to do me, right? You couldn't say the same thing about Jeff Capel when he filled in a handful of times for Mike Krzyzewski when he was still an associate head coach for Duke, because when he was on the bench, people made the assumption, well, hey man, this could be the next coach at Duke. So there's a little bit more pressure to look the part when you don't know you don't have it. And of course, last year when John Shire filled in, I think that was against Boston College. It was in an empty Cameron Indoor Stadium, and last year it's like nothing counted anyway. So Shire, I think, gets the benefit of knowing he has the gig so he doesn't have to overdo it. Now, as far as Duke is concerned and the motivation part, I think you just referenced that. I think they're extra motivated because, I mean, these guys read y'all's tweets, right? I mean, not that I expect them to be sitting around the campfire like by a radio listening to Josh Graham on WSJS or Adam Gold, which you can listen to here on 99.9 The Fan from noon to 3. But, like, people saw what Duke did against Miami, and they looked at Wake Forest and how they've been a hot team, and people like Steve Forbes, and they were trying to, like, I don't even know. I don't want to call it a stretch, but I think people were reading way too much into what we saw on Saturday against Miami in the loss. A loss that I thought had a couple of factors that, when you take a step back, make a lot of sense. You know, this is a team that didn't practice for 10 days, and that game against Georgia Tech was only the first part of them coming back off their COVID break after missing two games. And I think that presented itself in how sloppy they played offensively with 17 turnovers, and defensively they weren't at 100% there at the end with a loose rebound that didn't go their way. And Miami was fortunate to get a prayer bucket off the glass and an and one that went with that. And that to me was just like, you play that game a bunch more times, it could go any number of ways. I'm not saying that Miami isn't a good team. They are a good team, but I thought people were reading way too much into that. And going into last night's game, and I think it really presented itself in the second half when it started to get away, did you get the sense that they were just trying to just gut Wake Forest? Did you get that sense? I mean, they were going for every big dunk. They were trying to make an emphatic statement there in the second half, and that's, to me, a team trying to make a statement, even though they had it in hand.
Yeah, they stayed hungry, and they ballooned the lead out to 20 after it was a tight first half. And I thought, again, we talk about this with Matt Rhule, right? In the third quarter, what do you do at halftime? What type of adjustments do you make?
Yeah.
To me, there are two biggest positives last night for Duke. And I hear you. I can hear Mark Gottfried. Like, if Mark Gottfried was within earshot, he'd be texting me right now. Well, they got another McDonald's All-American off the bench, don't they? But the truth of the matter is, you still have to get a team in that situation, after they had lost to Miami, in the way that they lost to Miami, I hear you about the turnovers. But what Miami, and about not exactly being in 100% condition, you know, fatigue I thought was a factor. You're absolutely right.
Sure.
But the way Miami beat them is how you're going to beat Duke. And that is you have to make them make shots. Sounds stupid. Sounds dumb. But it's the truth. Duke's a super athletic team that defends in a vintage Duke style, that can create points with their defense, and that can create points in transition. To your point about the dunks, and that what I'm guessing Steve Forbes, whatever the NCAA allowed him to do today, that the earliest possible time, he's still at that point in his career. My guess is he had them up at the first thing this morning, and all they did was watch out of bounds plays from underneath the basket.
Yeah.
Because there were back to back sequences there where it was the old screen the screener action. And, I mean, this is stuff that I run in Garner Parks and Rec. And props to Shire, though. You know, you hold up the finger, you run a play, and it's just whoosh. And I thought those were damning of Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. You know, if I get my decoder card out, like, I thought if you could coach, and we all agree Steve Forbes can, those things don't happen to you, right? Like, as and then if you're a really good coach, I thought other teams don't make a run to start the second half. That's what happens, right? This is my new book. I learned watching NC State basketball on Twitter. So I thought last night that Duke did some really good things. I thought John Shire had them in the right spots, and I think AJ Griffin, and you know, you want to see the team get to the Final Four. Yeah. Justice Winslow, 15. Cam Reddish never quite walked through that door in 19. Never could quite be that third banana. And I think if Winslow, he plays like him, if Griffin can really get that role down and his first start last night, and I don't think Jeremy Roach had any problems coming off the bench. You know, they didn't seem to have any problems getting into their offense without a traditional point guard either. So,
and you also have somebody, Wendell Moore, who's been through this a couple times and understands his own role too. Sometimes he's the guy who's going to carry them to victory. We saw this earlier in the year. Other times he's going to play a little bit more complimentary and get key buckets when necessary. We saw that a little bit about from Wendell Moore. But look, Griffin is coming on. He's going to be the highlight of it. But this team still goes when Paolo Banchero is able to be Paolo Banchero. And he's hyped and he's engaged and everything else. And we certainly saw that in the second half. John Shire, the acting head coach last night, the coach in waiting, he'll be the coach next year, on Banchero, and how things really turned on in the second half.
Yeah, there was a conscious effort just to really get him the ball, one, as much as possible, and then two, in different spots. And, you know, the way that he started the game off was big time. I really thought he was going to go for, you know, 35 points there at for a moment, but he's capable of doing that. And I think what it did, once he was scoring and attacking the basket, it really opened things up for other guys, which is just how we have to play. I mean, he's going to be a big part of what we do. I mean, I don't think I'm giving away the, you know, nuclear codes or anything by saying we need to get the ball to Paolo. We do.
That was John Shire after the game. And he's right. Yeah, I don't think when you're going up against Duke, you have to spend too much time trying to understand, what do you think their game plan is going to be tonight? We'll probably get it to Paolo Banchero, the potential number one pick in the draft. After the Wake Forest-Duke game, it was the NC State-Louisville game, which, before we talk about the game at all, can we devise some sort of agreement between the Cardinals and the Wolfpack when it comes to uniforms? Because every time Louisville and NC State play a basketball game, I have to get my bearings as to which team is which sometimes.
Well, at least NC State wore black. When the two teams, when one of them doesn't wear black, that's when the real problems occur.
Whew. There were a couple times going, damn, oh wait, no, that's State. That's State playing. My bad. So yesterday, when we talked about this game, NC State's front court was going to be highlighted. Malik Williams from Louisville was going to be a problem. I was of the opinion that State is going to be very NC State. They're going to be in these games, and it really comes down to, will they have a bad enough scoring drought that's going to affect them, right? And last night, they only really dealt with that for about 5 minutes. Darian Sebron was really good last night. He didn't fill it up like we've seen it the last couple nights, but he was still good. But it was the other guys that really filled it up. Tre'Quavion Smith, what, 6 of 9 from three? Nice. Jericho Helms, what was he, 5 of 7 last night from three? You know, when you're scoring like that, then you're more often than not, you're going to win some basketball games. And I've said this about State a lot this season. They don't really seem to, game to game or even within games, get too caught up in what happened. They're able to overcome something bad within a game. They're able to overcome something that bad that happens from game to game. And they had a deflating loss to Clemson on Saturday. Tough road game at Louisville. And they come out of there with a really nice win. In the same way, they go to a tough environment at Virginia Tech. And they come out of their way with one. They're surprisingly good on the road. If they could just kind of get their thing together at home, we could have been talking about an NCAA tournament team. But right now, it's like NC State has put themselves in too big of a hole with the way they started ACC play. But you can see why, like, you could see why fans get frustrated, because you see what they're capable of. They just can't do it consistently enough.
Yeah, I thought the bounce back from Tre'Quavion Smith was the big key last night from NC State. 0 for 7 against Clemson. He was flat out benched in the second half of that game last Saturday. And, you know, when you're a shooter, you just have to have a short memory. And he made a couple of crazy shots. That's kind of what he is. He's going to take a couple of those, no, and then it goes in, yes, yeah, yeah. Helms is another guy. Played 40 minutes in the first half in particular. He made most of it. He made 4 of his threes in the first half. I feel bad for Helms because he can have good games in this supporting role. And it's almost like he's just trying to feel his way. And here we are in year 4 for him and 16 games in. And he's prone on Saturday against Duke to not play well. And it's just the way that he's played. But last night he showed you when he can be that complimentary tertiary option, then NC State can be effective. Just to point out that I was right, Louisville, I just had the wrong big man. Sidney Curry, who averages 2 points a game, ended up with 22 somehow. 22 and 10, career high for him, obviously. And Williams, Chris Mack, I'm not really sure what he's doing.
Dude, it's bad. It's bad and, in Louisville for Chris Max.
I don't think him and Kevin Keats are friendly.
No.
But that's kind of a shame because they could really chop it up, because I feel like they're living parallel lives right now.
Well, I think Chris Mack, the Louisville coach, is a prime example of a head coach that people just assume is the perfect fit. And that doesn't mean it's actually going to work out. You know, like when Rick Pitino went away at Louisville and Chris Mack was the obvious choice. I mean, that was a process that did not take very long. That was like the worst kept secret around. That's what Chris Mack was going to go do. He's going to go be that coach. Sometimes the obvious, you know, what you think is going to be magical ain't. And that's what happened. That's what's happening right now. And it Louisville fans don't like either of their coaches right now. You know, Scott Satterfield, their football coach, has stuck his foot in his mouth as it relates to where exactly he wants to be as a college football coach. He wants to be over our way, not necessarily at Louisville, which I think is a good football job. So he's already torched the goodwill of fans there. And not that we're there on a daily basis, but the people that I do know who are at Louisville have had nothing but, I'll say, less than ideal experiences with Chris Mack. He just doesn't really endear himself to the fan base, and some of his actions have shown that, and now they're done with him. And if they don't make the NCAA tournament, I'll be curious to see what Louisville does with that job. But it's not good at Louisville right now with Chris Mack. But for Kevin Keats, they get the win. They go get their ice cream. He was happy that they fought through what?
The Texans fired David Culley?
Yeah, I was going to get to that on the other side.
What?
Yeah. So here's Kevin Keats last night after the win.
Good win for us. Good road win. Proud of my guys. We completely fought. I thought our young guys were tremendous. And actually, those guys were the guys who closed the game. Did a tremendous job. We're getting better. We're fighting. You know, it's one of those things where I think every day guys are starting to play a little bit better. Give a lot of credit to Ernest Ross. I thought he came in and completely changed the game around with his energy and played hard. Thomas Allen was good early. Cam came off the bench. Casey Marcel did a great job on the defensive end. But, you know, our big three played well. You know, Cole led us early on. Baby T was spectacular. And then, you know, DB was just steady all throughout the game. So, good road win. We want to continue to build on it. We beat a really good Louisville team on their home floor. So, give those guys credit. They'll bounce back. But I was excited about our play tonight.
So that was Keats after the win against Louisville last night.